This is the social program, and we are joined by Malana Ibrahim Obama. Malana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Jazakumullah khairan, Malana, for joining us on the program. How is Malana doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been kind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, continues His fazl and His grace and His favors upon all of us.
Inshallah. Amal, this week on the program, we continue a discussion that had started last week, important tips to reduce anxiety. There was a few tips that were shared last week, and this week we'll continue with the discussion.
Yes. I think more important, I want to give some tips of how to avoid getting anxious and becoming anxiety prone. And very briefly, last week we spoke about different aspects of anxiety, how it impacts upon us. And there is no doubt whatsoever that anxiety sometimes can overwhelm us. Almost sometimes it can feel like you're drowning in a sea of never-ending problems. Sometimes it might be self-made or self-inflicted. And sometimes it could be because of circumstances. Now, a certain degree of worry and anxiety exists in everybody, and that is part and parcel of our daily life. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in this world. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ, says Allah in the Holy Quran, I have created human being with normal anxiety and toil and effort. However, for some people, anxiety can take over their lives, and it can actually be viewed in the direst way possible, which can lead to a multitude of physical and mental health issues. And we see the difference. When a person is calm, you can see it in his appearance, in his attitude, in his demeanor, in the way he interacts. He will be able to notice small things like the wind rustling through the leaves of a tree. You can feel all of this when you are positive and calm. You will see your muscles and the rate of your pulse. Everything is normal. And compare this to the time when you are struggling. You will find, for example, I got so many things to do, and I can't do all of it. You will say awkward things. You will say things that you are not supposed to say, and you will notice tension in your body, and you will start to feel sometimes warm, sometimes cold, and you will notice your heart racing. These signals will occur before your anxiety and worry get out of hand. So these are the impact of anxiety upon our life. And perhaps today, inshallah, we will look at how do we deal with it. And inshallah, I'm sure maybe through that particular way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to deal with anxiety and different types of situations.
And to the listeners, you can share with us your tips, something that you have come across, something that you'd like to share with us, either through WhatsApp on 072-786-1548. The lines are also open. If you'd like to call us, give us a call on 011-854-1548. Mona, you can continue.
Jazakumullah for that. What exactly we're looking at is from the listeners. What do you do when you're feeling anxious? I've made a note from articles about 7 or 8 points that we can do to bring our anxiety down. The first thing, and the most important thing, treating anxiety through remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very, very important. The most effective treatment for anxiety is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that you feel anxious about or you fear about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have control over us or control over that. Therefore, we make the dua to Almighty Allah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. Allah, I seek your protection from the Lord of Daybreak, from the evil of which He has created, from the negative things that are in the creation. Everything is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good and the bad, the negative and the positive. So when this is a situation, then if there is any negativity, who better to remove that negativity than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself? So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Verily those who have iman and believe in their hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah. Allah, Allah in the Arabic language means, you know, certainly, with emphasis, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will hearts find contentment and peace. So I think that is an important part. So peace of mind, staying away from anxiety, can be found in the remembrance of Allah. You know, Allah, when we are facing the fears, anxiety, we have to remember that Allah ta'ala is the most powerful and nothing can overcome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing that we fear is beyond Allah ta'ala's ability to deal with it. So how do we turn towards Almighty Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And very important, I would like to make mention, is read the du'as that we are supposed to read on specific occasions. When we leave the home, just as we see that we got our driver's license and we got our wallet, we must also see that we leave with the home, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If anyone knows other du'as, if not, at least this too much we must read. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. These other du'as, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an azilla aw uzal, aw azilla aw uzal, aw azlim aw uzlam, aw ajhal aw yujhal alay. These are other types of du'as that we are supposed to read. When you go into the bathroom, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. When you come out, ghufranak, alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba anni al-adha wa afani. These du'as must become part and parcel of our life because it gives us great deal of calmness. It gives us great deal of tranquility. And I can't overemphasize this. One of the du'as that we are supposed to read, يا حيو يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شعننا كله. The dua goes on to make mention of something, but for the sake of the listeners, very easy. Oh, the one who is حي and قيوم, your rahmat and your mercy do we plead for. أصلح لنا شعننا كله. Rectify and amend all our affairs. Subhanallah, what a beautiful dua. Brief, and it is so, you know, empowering for any type of anxiety that we are facing. The Darood Sharif is also very, very empowering.
That's so true. And when we have these intrusive thoughts or these fears that cause anxiety, or sometimes it's because of overthinking, to say Amen to Billahi wa Rasuli, or ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from shaitan and from these evil thoughts, or from these type of thoughts that cause us anxiety. Emma, I think for a believer also, it's just to know that whatever problem we are facing, we would be able to handle it because we can always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, I think that's exactly the point. And there is nothing that is more great. Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, I remember him used to give this example. He say that you are going to go and visit a friend. Now, when you go and visit your friend, because of security reasons, he's got a vicious dog in his property, in front of his door. Now, you can say that, listen, I'm going to visit him. I got to go and visit him. Let me go and fight with the dog and get to the dog. Now, when you fight with the dog, you can overcome the dog. The dog might be able to overcome you. You might be hurt. So whatever it is, that's one way. The other way is that you phone your friend. You say, listen, I want to come and see you. I'm worried about coming to see you because there's this dog that is in front. If it sees me, it might harm me because I'm a stranger to it. You know the dog. Please come out. Take the dog to the whatever place we have kept for it, away from harm, tie it up, and then I can come and meet with you easily. Now, out of the two options, everyone will agree that the second option is a much more better option. That you don't go and fight with the dog to go and visit your friend. You tell him to remove the dog. So he gives this example, and look at the example, dear listeners. I want you to concentrate on this. He says all the difficulties of this world is like the example of a dog. Now, you can go and fight with those difficulties, or you can go to the one who controls the difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tell him to remove it. Just as we had concluded in the example, when you want to go and visit a friend and there is a vicious dog in front of him, in front of his door, then you don't go and fight with the dog. You tell him to remove it. In a similar manner, when there is difficulties, instead of confronting it, you ask Allah to remove it. Now you need to take some sort of precaution from the tawakkul point of view, because tawakkul is not only relying upon Almighty Allah. It is tying the camel and then putting trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But over and above that, putting the trust and taking the means, you rely upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First tie the camel and then rely upon Almighty Allah. So there's two things. One is you adopt the means and then you rely upon Almighty Allah. You don't just adopt the means and you don't only rely upon Almighty Allah. So I think these are the two things that we have to do whenever we are in difficulty. And because Allah ta'ala controls a difficulty, Allah ta'ala is in charge of all and everything in this world, we ask Allah ta'ala to remove those difficulties.
It's all about shifting our focus, shifting our attention, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these times of difficulty, and of course doing that action or doing something about the issue or the difficulty that you are facing. And as Maulana mentioned last week as well, at times when you persevere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will definitely come, and we put our reliance in Allah.
Yes, definitely. I think that's the first thing that we have to do. And I've done that particular aspect. Allah bi zikri Allah, remembrance of Allah will give you empowerment and will give you tranquility. So the anxiety will go away, because zikr of Almighty Allah gives you calmness. So learn to do it. Whatever you're doing before you're going to do anything, just sometimes you have to make a quick decision. Then you read, Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli. Oh Allah, guide me on this particular matter. I have to make a decision. If you can get a time to make istikhara, make istikhara. If you can't get a time to make istikhara, at least read this dua. Ya hayu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghis. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa razuqna ittiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batila wa razuqna istinaba. So these are constant and duas that you have to make at a time when you are feeling anxious, which I have made mention.
Well, listeners, we are speaking this week on tips to reduce anxiety. If you have any tips, or if you'd like to share with us some of your experiences, anything that you've come across, drop us a message on 072-786-1548. Or you can give us a call as well on 011-854-1548. Maulana, many times feelings of anxiety often occur because we expect things to happen, or we expect things to be in a certain way.
Yes, I think that is one of the things that I would like to. Perhaps what I want to do is just quickly go through. The first thing is turn towards Almighty Allah and dua. Second thing, which I did make mention of yes, last week, but I'm going to very briefly make mention of it. So I'm going to enumerate the points. Second thing, pay attention to triggers and try to avoid them. Right? So Allah Ta'ala always tells us that Islam is a preventative religion. Allah Ta'ala tells us not only not to commit zina, do not go near zina. So similarly, we can protect ourselves from drowning in a sea of worries when we realize the situations that tend to trigger our anxiety. So if we are anxious because when we are running late, so when you are running late, you all of a sudden become anxious. When you're driving to the airport, you start speeding. In the anxiety, you might forget your important passports, etc. Yesterday, I met a person who told me that he went to the airport and he had a visa, but the visa wasn't in the old passport, and he took the new passport to the airport. Subhanallah. So he said he missed the flight, because the visa was in the other passport. By the time that other passport came, the flight had gone. So sometimes actually what happened in anxiousness and anxiety, you lose sight of what is actually happening, right? So do you tend to panic when you're running late? So then if you are going to get panic when you're running late, give yourself extra time to get ready. So leave 10 minutes earlier. Do you tend to get anxious when you are exhausted? Then try to go to bed earlier, to be able to be to awake refreshed and ready to face the day. Do you tend to feel anxious when you're speaking with a particular friend or with a particular person? Try minimizing contact with a person. So secondly, in terms of tips to avoid anxiety, avoid triggers that exacerbate your anxiety. Stay away from things, or prepare yourself adequately with regard to things that exacerbate or increase your anxiety.
Yeah, I've got to keep or pay attention to those triggers and try to avoid them, or prepare yourself better. Preparation also helps to avoid anxiety, Molana.
And the third thing, Molana, I'm going to enumerate the third thing. Mm. The article goes on to say, practice makes fearless. Mm? Mm. The best way to get over whatever you fear is to practice dealing with that thing over and over again. All right. For example, if you fear speaking in public, or you have social anxiety before you're going to a place where you're going to meet people, then prepare yourself for the kind of things that you will talk about in these settings. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you are going to, you're anxious about speaking in public and you go to give a speech, then go ahead, go over it. I remember, and I can't exactly remember, there was an alim one day who gave me an advice. He says, when you're giving, before you give a bayan, stand in front of the mirror and give your bayan in front of the mirror. So he says you must see your facial expression, see your appearance, see how you are going about things. So he says, give your whole thing in front of the mirror. I remember Hazrat Maulana Nazir Sanjalvi, Damat Barakatum, telling me that before they used to go anywhere for do anything, the father Mufti Sanjalvi, Rahmatullah Ali, used to make them stand and repeat the whole thing. You know, if they're giving a small speech or they're giving the discourse, tell them to read the whole thing. So I think it's very important. Practice makes fearless. The more you prepare, the easier and less fear you will have. The more you practice, the more easier it will become, regardless of how you are feeling. So if there is anything that creates anxiety, then practice that thing. Practice it. If you are afraid with regard to you're going to get visitors and you have to prepare a meal, then practice before the visitors come. Give it a try run. Go and cook it. And then when the visitors come, you will feel more confident with regard to cooking it. I'm just giving an example. So practice until you become so natural that you can do it without thinking. Often when we are struck with fear and anxiety, we can't seem to think straight. If you practice to the point of being able to do something without even thinking, when you feel the fear and anxiety, you will be able to perform better irrespective of the fears that you will start having. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important. My own example, I very seldom go into a bayan without having a paper in front of me. Sometimes it is typed. Nowadays, mostly it is typed. And it's amazing. It gives you confidence. And I can share another tip with you, Mullah Ibrahim, is that I only get anxious until the time I start.
Gee.
So once you start, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just opens up things and you find that there's a certain degree of calm. But of course, that comes in because you have prepared adequately. So the third thing with regard to the point of what do we do with regard to avoiding anxiety, practice makes you fearless. So the first thing we said, dua and turning towards Almighty Allah. Secondly, avoid the triggers that create the anxiety. Thirdly, practice makes you fearless.
Practice makes fearless. Practice makes it much easier. And if you think of things that you were anxious or things that you were nervous about, whether it's learning how to drive or how to cook or cooking for the in-laws, the more you did it, the more easier it becomes until you do it, where it doesn't even cause you any bit of nervousness or any bit of anxiety. The more you do something, practice makes fearless. It's just gone 9:30. This is the social program. We are speaking about important tips to reduce anxiety. This program is a continuation of last week's program. Share with us your thoughts, 0727861548. Give us a call as well on 011-854-1548. We're going to take an air break followed by the headlines, and we'll be back on the other side of that. We are speaking about important tips to reduce anxiety. Marana, we do have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the panel and to Maulana Bam. Maulana, I just have a few tips. I'd like to, for difficulty, I think we shouldn't Like they say, don't give your children everything on a silver tray. So sometimes we must say, no, we don't have. So kids can learn that they can't always get what they want. So that little difficulty, when they start learning, there will be difficulty in life that they won't get everything they want. And if it's a need, then it's okay, you can give it to them. But if they just want and want all the time, we must sometimes always refuse also. The word no doesn't mean that, you know, that you don't want to give it to them. But it's for our children to learn to know there will be difficulty. And another thing is, difficulty makes one stronger. And like we don't run away from difficulty. We have to face up and teach the children that there is always difficulty. But with our du'as, Allah will remove all difficulty. And, you know, like they say, after every difficulty, there is ease. Mm-hmm. Like we, that is what I can say. And we must teach our children to work wisely, that whatever they have, they must share. And right. If they share, there won't be difficulty also.
Exactly.
I like that one, especially about this one here, that don't give everything to your children, because if you give everything to them, they will start thinking that this life is easy. Yes. And they might not be able to, they will expect things that later on in life can become difficult. Jazakallah so much for that.
Jazakallah salam.
Jazakallah khairan to that caller, and the lines are still open. We're speaking about anxiety. Any tips that you have or you'd like to share with us, with the listeners of Radio Islam International, drop us or you can call us on 011-854-1548. Maa, some of the messages that have come through, a lot of them just agreeing with what Maulana had said earlier on, that we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times we need to cry also and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just before that break, Maulana said, practice makes fearless. This listener saying that recently in my soft skills program, soft skills training program, one thing that was taught, that practice makes permanent. Practice makes permanent. Just reinforcing what Maulana Ibrahim Bahmet said regarding
And a friend also messaged, said that I always thought that practice makes perfect. I said, yes, it is. Practice does make perfect. But in the context of the program, we're trying to see how do you reduce anxiety and fear. So practice makes you fearless. And here's another dimension. Practice makes permanent. Jazakallah for it.
So continue to send through your messages. Any tips that you have to reduce anxiety, anything that you've come across that you feel will be beneficial, 072-786-1548. Why, you can continue.
Yes, I think the one point that I think is very, very important is, I don't know if it's the third or the fourth point or whatever it is this race with your fear. That's how it's been put in the article which I've got. Let me give you some examples. Whatever you fear, if you give it time to set in, it will absolutely horrify you, right? So you got certain things that you are worried about. I've got to resolve this issue with this person of mine. There's a mirath issue, or there's another issue. So the more you delay it, the more the fear grips you, right? The quicker you take action, the quicker you dispel your fears and anxieties. If you don't allow yourself time to think too much about the anxiety and jump straight to action dealing with the thing that you actually fear, then before you know, it's over and your fear hasn't even had time to create the anxiety. It's important that you understand that anxiety is something that we fear about the future or something that is about to happen. So the quicker you take action, the sooner you will realize that I can handle it and it is over. So, you know, I like this way with regard to the way it has been captioned, a race with your fear. So what is causing you the anxiety, go and deal with it as soon as possible. Now, I know many people, and in fact, sometimes it happens to me also, the thing that is causing you the anxiety, you leave it and you leave it and you leave it until it causes even more anxiety. So sometimes, really, what is causing you the fear, what is causing you the situation, go and deal with it immediately. So that we are not in a situation where we that particular thing plays in our mind and it becomes something that overwhelms us.
That's so true, Ma, just to take action. And I was reading also a bit about this anxiety and fear and so on. And one of the speakers made a point, and they said that sometimes the greatest worry or the anxiety we have is something that is out of our control. Because if it was in our control, we'd take action and we'd be able to try and stop it or do something about it. So it just plays on that. Sometimes you'd be able to identify what is a real threat and what is something that is just made up. If you can do something about it immediately, it shows that this is a real threat. But if you can't, then it's just something that your mind is playing on.
Definitely. I think it's important. JazakAllah so much for that tip also. So I think sometimes you need to confront the fear that you are having, the thing that is going to cause you anxiety, and try to get over it as soon as possible. If you need to speak to someone and it's causing you anxiety because that particular conversation you are dreading because it's a controversial type of thing, then get over it as soon as possible.
Confront it, try and take action. This will help you in dealing with that anxiety. If you leave it and it lingers on and lingers on, it just makes it worse. You're unable to then do anything about it. Makes it very difficult for you to then deal with it and live with it as well. Mike, you can continue.
Yes, the other thing is live in the present moment rather than worrying about the past or future. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said, your attention must be directed to your life in the present. The time between the two times, the time between the past and the present, the future. If you waste your present time, then you have wasted opportunity to be among the fortunate and the saved ones. If you look after it, having rectified the two times, before and after it, then you will be successful and achieve rest, delight, and never-ending bliss. We often become so overcome with worry about the past and anxiety about the future that we completely miss out on the present. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, which is a very famous hadith, a strong believer is better and dearer to Allah than a weak believer, despite the fact that there is still good in everyone, even if he's weak. But cherish what gives you benefit in the year after and seek help from Almighty Allah. Do not lose heart and become despondent. And anything in the form of trouble comes to you, don't ever say, if I had done such and such thing, then this would not have happened. Don't say no. Don't say if. If I had done it, then it wouldn't have happened. Now it's done. Now after it's done, you don't say no. Before it's done, you go and do all your precautions. After it's done, you don't say why. You don't say, oh, if I had done this. Now if it's done, don't say no, because then say Allah has ordained it so, and whatever He pleases, He does. Because ifs and buts and lo opens the door of shaitan. You cannot control what will happen within the next hour. Nor can you change what happened during the last hour. But the present moment is within your grasp, subhanAllah. You can't change what happened in the past hour. You can't predict what's going to happen in the next hour. But what you can do now, what is in your control, is to do something now. Rather than focusing on what ifs, focus on what is. Pay attention to the blessings surrounding you, the feeling of the breeze in your face, the taste of tea on your tongue, which is one of my favorite things. I like my tea to be made in a particular way. The sounds of birds chirping nearby. When you choose to be mindful of the blessings that surround you in every moment of every day, you will start to find that you tend to feel calmer and less bombarded by anxieties about the past and the future. I think it is such an important tip to deal with anxieties and fear.
And many of the life coaches and therapists will tell you that when you're feeling overwhelmed, when your heart starts to race and your beats go up, then just to ground yourself, sit down, listen to everything that you can hear, see what, identify things that are in the room, taste something, just ground yourself. It will help you to get through that situation. Mana, there's a lot of messages that have come through here, and all of them saying that many times we find that our anxiety is caused by other people. And we did speak a bit about this last week, that, triggers identify that. But they're saying that it's difficult to avoid some of the triggers because it's people that you are close to. It could be in some messages it's saying it's like your spouse, in some messages it's saying it's the parents, sometimes it's a sibling. So how do you then deal with it?
Yeah, I suppose sometimes there are certain things you can't avoid. So the only thing I can do is then keep away the type of things that are going to lead to the anxiety. I mean, see if there's something that is going to cause the problem. Is there a possibility of avoiding that problem? Is there a possibility to discuss a way of how to deal with that situation beforehand, before it comes upon you? If there is an anxiety and that particular anxiety has been caused, what are we going to do on a particular Sunday when we're getting visitors? Can you sort of discuss it with the people who are around you, who are making the decisions, or who are going to be instrumental in the whole thing, so that, that Sunday goes away well, it is pre-planned, there is something that is already discussed, how you're going to deal with it. All I'm saying is that, firstly, anyone who's going to cause you anxiety, try to avoid and minimize the contact with them. If you have to have the contact, I also spoke about the fact that prepare, so practice. So, for example, why don't you go through the thing that is causing the anxiety to be able to speak about it, so that there is some form of conclusion and some form of decision that is made that doesn't lead to something that is worse. I don't know if there's, I don't think we have a foolproof type of situation, a guaranteed type of situation. Certain type of things you're going to have to face. So the one that I also spoke about is race with your fear. So, for example, if there is a thing that is going to cause you anxiety, then deal with it. How are you going to deal with it? I mean, for example, if there is something that you are worried about, or revealing from your parents and you have kept it so far hidden, then go for it and go and speak to them about it. Sometimes it might not be as bad as what you're actually thinking.
I can
imagine it is something that you think, while you can give certain tips, there are certain type of things you're going to have to deal with. And sometimes, the one point that is also important is that accept that anxiety levels are going to go up and down. There is going to be times up and down. Sometimes the anxiety is, if you've got a relaxed weekend, you're going out for something, you are with your children, then anxiety levels are down. You're at home and you're expecting visitors the next day, and of course there's a great amount of visitors coming. You are dealing with your people who are in the house, whether it be the in-laws or sister-in-laws or whatever. The anxiety levels are going to go up. So whatever it is, is acceptance. Despite how scary these sensations or fearful these sensations are, one of the proven techniques that help a person overcome a panic attack is acceptance. So we have to deal with it, and there is a certain degree of acceptance in that there is going to be certain types of situations that might be a little bit anxiety driven, something that we'll call anxiety. Accept it, deal with it, try and find a way that it doesn't cause a greater harm.
Emma, there's a few messages also that have spoken about a medication that helps reduce anxiety. Some of them, some of the messages say that they feel it's more harmful, and others saying that it just depends also on the situation. What about that, Malana?
Well, I believe in it that sometimes there is a need to go to medication. I've seen benefits within the broader family that when you do take these things, sometimes it's sometimes the anxiety or the difficulty that you are having with regard to matters sometimes could be bipolar, for example. You have a bipolar type of disorder or personality. Now, sometimes it is chemically induced. So I wouldn't say blanketly take it without any supervision, or neither what I say, the way many a times in our particular community it is, that are you trying to say I'm mad? Why must I take medication? It's not to do with madness.
Right.
You take medication when you have sugar. You take medication when you have a high blood pressure. If you have a bipolar disorder and there is medication that is going to calm you so that you don't get into the bipolar, what is wrong with that? It's not a stigma. You know, it's not anything to do with the fact that you are mad. It is just that you are helping yourself because there are chemicals that have come into your body that causes a certain degree of reaction at certain times.
Right.
So I would say go to someone whom you trust is a doctor. And this is very important. Fas'alu ala zik, fas'al bihi khabira. Ask someone who knows. And just to make a blanket statement or to take a position without evidence is not good. So go to someone whom you trust and you can rely upon and go and ask him and say, I've got this situation. What do I do with it? And if he tells you take a certain degree of medication, then take it. And one of the things about these type of medications is you can't take it and then leave it. You have to be with it. And there are many examples of people who have taken it for a long period of time and they have benefited. And then another point is when they feel that they are well, now why must I take it? Then they lose. When they stop taking it, then it becomes even more worse.
Mm.
So I wouldn't say blanketly don't take it, or neither would I say blanketly take it. I would say go to someone who is well-versed and rely upon what he says, and someone whom you can trust. And once you trust him, you go by what he said, because Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, "Fas'al bihi khabira," ask the people who have knowledge.
Mm. Ma, another message that has come through here, and it speaks about anxiety in youngsters. Something that was maybe unheard of in the years gone by. The listener saying that I find that my 12-year-old son seems to get anxious about everything, from waking up in the morning to absolutely everything. I can't really seem to do anything right. How do I deal?
I know it's something that I'm finding it. I mean, I've heard parents nowadays telling me that when the examination comes, all of a sudden the children are anxious. You can see it in their behavior, the way they deal with it. Now, all these things that I've said, although it is more for elderly people, but maybe we can start using it for our children. If there is something that is creating them anxiety, for example, the examination, then sit with them 1 or 2 weeks before the examination, prepare well in advance. Inculcate in them, if you fail to prepare, then prepare to fail. You know, so you're going to have to deal with it. Sometimes youngsters do have these anxieties. And maybe all the tips that we have mentioned, try to bring it into practice with them at an early age.
Ma, there's a few more messages or that have gone through. They're saying that one saying Jazakumullah khairan, Ma, for speaking about the medication issue. Sometimes there's a stigma that is attached to it. Ma, there's a few minutes left. Anything else that Ma would like to add on?
One of the most important things, and really Jazakallah for that, if there's anything that is quite unusual or something different, Jazakallah so much for all the people who are sending these messages. It just adds value to myself and to what I'm learning and what other people are reading. And all of a sudden, if something comes up and you say, Allah, I mean, there's two, three things came up today which got me thinking. One is about anxiety in children, subhanAllah. 12-year-old becoming anxious, and the whole day he become anxious over regarding something, help him. Maybe the tips that we have made mention, try to bring it up. Prepare him well in advance for the things that he's fearing. Maybe sometimes speak to him. What is causing you the fear and deal with it. So all the tips that I've given can also be used for them. And the one that is there, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. You know, I really like this one here because it is also one of the things that that causes and can help us in our anxiety, right? This is very powerful about facing your fears. Sometimes we push the worst case scenario to the back of our mind, afraid of facing the possibility that something so scary could happen. This promotes anxiety to arise at inopportune times. What is the fear you constantly sweeping under the rug, right? So you hope for the best, but you also prepare yourself for the worst. I've seen this with doctors. When they do the diagnosis, normally they present the worst case scenario, and many a time the worst case scenario doesn't come through. And I've spoken to one or two doctors. Why do you put the worst case scenario first instead of giving, you know, saying that no, this is most unlikely, it won't happen. It's one in 100 chance. Even if it's a 1 in 100 chance, I remember one doctor one day telling me that there was something that was one in a 60 or something like that chance. And he said, in our parlance and our terminology, that is way too much in terms of the possibility. So if it's 1 in 60, which is so unlikely to happen, 1 in 100, in their terminology, it's something that it's more like, or it's something that you take it seriously. So what are the things? And you will find that sometimes, is it as bad as what it is? What is the situation that you are fearing, and what is the worst case scenario? And in that particular way, you can sometimes change your expectation. You know, feeling of anxiety often occur because we expect things to happen or expect things to be a certain way. And when you see that reality doesn't conform with your expectation, then we become fearful, we become anxious, we become angry, we become frustrated. Expectations are all managed in your mind, and sometimes our expectations are so exaggerated that they induce the fear that it's not possible to achieve what we expect. So sometimes cut down on your expectation, change your expectations, bring it down to a level of being more pragmatic and being more the stuff. And then from there you will find that if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But if you put your expectations so high and it doesn't happen, then it creates unnecessary tension and unnecessary, all those type of things. When they say when your expectations are not going to be met, you begin to fear because the mind releases cortisol, the stress hormone, and you begin to feel stress. The easiest way among the things is to change your expectation. You know, so sometimes you need to change your expectations, and sometimes you hope for the best, but you also fear for the worst. So sometimes you have to say, all right, what is the worst case scenario in this particular matter? And then you say that, okay, this is the worst case scenario. Is it something that I can deal with? You know, I think it's something that is a very way, good way of dealing with it.
Jazakallah khairan for the lovely program. We've come to the end of the program, and for those that are requesting the podcast, it will be available on our website and our social media handles later on.
Jazakallah
khairan. Jazakallah for the opportunity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.